You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Games 3 and 4. Well, they've shown everybody how big the dips can be during the roller coaster ride that is the NBA playoffs. Follow 92 through the Fan and the Odyssey app, and you'll get breaking news and special alerts sent right to your phone. And then you can go back to the biggest moments during our local shows with the rewind function.
All right, Cavs, Magic, Game 5 tonight here in Cleveland. It's all tied up at 2, so it's a best of 3. What is going to happen next? Are you up? Are you down? I don't know, man. This has been an emotional roller coaster of some very bad basketball. And I don't know. It's just the way it feels. Although it was good basketball at one point, then it became bad basketball. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Let's bring in Brian Gutzler from Sirius XM NBA Radio. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good, guys. How are we doing?
Hi, Brian.
We're doing good. I think we're just kind of hunkered down, almost like you're going on a roller coaster ride when they bring the big bar over your shoulders to make sure that you're strapped in. That's what the third quarter feels like in this series between the Cavs and Magic. I'm just worried about the Hills.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's funny because the Magic are offensively challenged, yet they get in their own building and they have these moments. I mean, Franz Wagner shooting 28% from three this year. You look at what he did in game 4 and you're like, how the hell did that happen? No, I mean, but it's just like, that's kind of where you get stuck on this thing. Like it's kind of nuts. Listen, I worry about the Cavs' propensity to fold up their tents emotionally when they hit some tough spots. It's a strange dynamic with this team, incredibly talented, but at times not physically aggressive, at times selfish, other times almost too unselfish. And there's just, it's a lot of talented players that don't seem to be meshing well together. Orlando's a feisty team. Orlando's on the come. They're going to be a lot better here in these years to come with this young group. But my worry for the Cavs in this series, and again, it's a three-game series right now. Two of them are going to be in Cleveland. The Cavs still hold that advantage and have home court and all that. My only worry about this series is we know somewhere along the lines for one of these teams to get the 4 wins, everybody's going to hit the skids and have some adversity. And when I look at the way all the adversity is handled, Orlando's level of togetherness / connectedness with one another, both basketball-wise and, to not get too crazy, but spiritually as well, they seem to trust each other a heck of a lot more. I don't see that same connectedness and vibe with the Cavs on both of those fronts.
So, Brian, is that on the players? Is that on the coach? Is that on the front office that put the team together?
Listen, here's the thing. I'll tell you this. And I was on, I believe it was your channel a couple weeks back, and I was extolling the virtues of J.B. Bickerstaff because I do think he's in a very, very tough spot here because you have players that flat out don't like playing with each other. And when you have talented guys that believe in their own abilities and have played without the guys they don't like playing with, I'm talking about Garland and Mitchell, and have had success, it becomes very hard to get these guys to buy into a bigger picture. I thought it would get easier after they had, what was that, 17, 18 earlier in the year, that big string in the middle of the season, and they didn't have Garland and Mobley during it. And I thought kind of when Garland came back, there would be this massive deference to Donovan Mitchell. It's happened a little bit, but it's happened somewhat begrudgingly. And I will say this. I don't think Bickerstaff's done a bad job, but if the Cavs don't win this series, I hate to say it because, again, I think he's done a decent job, and he's got to go. I think, and only for the fact that you're going to have – you can't run this thing back again. You're going to have to make significant changes. And the other thing that you keep in mind, there may be a major direction shift. If Donovan Mitchell doesn't put his name on a contract extension, he'll be somewhere else next year. The Cavs don't have a choice because he has value right now, and the longer you go into a contract with him not being willing to extend, i.e. unhappy, the larger trouble you're going to have getting a big package back for him. And listen, and this is also the other unfortunate part for the Cavs, packages for these types of players peaked when the Cavs traded for Mitchell. So, like, you're going to see a lot this summer with stars being on the market, and the price tag for these stars is not going to be what teams gave up for them, i.e. maybe Donovan Mitchell, maybe a Kevin Durant situation, but there's no way the Suns recoup that value. The Cavs are in that spot with Mitchell. They would ideally like to see him sign that extension and maybe be able to move on from Garland. So I'll say this, between Garland, Mitchell, and Bickerstaff, if the Cavs lose this series, we're only going to see at most one of them back next year.
Any way we could see a Mitchell, Garland, hey, we got to get through this together. We want to win. We want to – like, I just – the way you watch those first four games, I agree with what you're saying, that the chemistry is not there. I just don't know. If it's not there for the first four games, what makes me believe it's going to be there for at least the next two games?
Zero, zilch, and nada. It won't be there. And I think some of this stuff that we're seeing and we're discussing that we're seeing, we saw last year in the first round against New York. And listen, I was, you know, in that Cavs locker room after, I forget what game it was, after one of the games in the Garden last year. You felt it. You just felt it. There was, listen, Donovan Mitchell is a terrific player. He also carries himself like he's a big star. And I think when you have other guys that believe in their ability and are very good players, Garland, Mobley, Allen's a little bit of an odd duck. And I kind of, you know, I don't know that he necessarily worries so much about that stuff, but certainly the other two guys, you know, that can be a little bit off-putting when you feel like you have a lot of ability. Mitchell looks at it like he's the guy and everyone else is his supporting cast. And I think you have, that's always a fragile and tenuous dynamic that has to be managed a little bit. And I don't know that Mitchell cares as the leader to manage it all that much. So, you know, in terms of what's going to change, I don't really think anything is going to change. With that said, the Cavs have won two games at home. They've defended fantastic in those two games they won at home. And granted, Orlando's an offensively challenged team. We understand that. That outside of Banchero and the occasional game like game four where Wagner gets going, there's no other reliable offensive option. They're mixing and matching night in and night out to find that guy behind Banchero that can do it. So it's not the toughest offensive team in the world, but the Cavs have bared down. And I think to answer your question, if the Cavs can find a way to win this series and then go face Boston and give Boston everything they can handle, even if they don't win the series, but, you know, find some daylight in that series, play well together, maybe that puts everybody in a little bit of a different place. I just think that that possibility is extremely remote.
What do you think's going on with Donovan Mitchell? Jeff and I think he's – I mean, he took that shot to the ribs in game one. We know he's had knee problems going into this thing. He says – something's not right, but he doesn't
say anything.
Yeah, he's not really saying anything about his health. But Jeff and I are both kind of sitting here going, "There's no way he's healthy." I just don't get it how he can be good in the first half and then obscure in the second half, and it was dangerous for them in Orlando. And if that happens again in Cleveland, forget about it.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. I don't think he's healthy. And I think what's happening to him in these games is that what Orlando did is they, you know, certainly upgraded the level of physicality on him in the games in Orlando, and he didn't respond well. So he's going to see a lot of that again tonight. I think they're going to be very, very physical with him to a point where I'd almost tell you that I'd rather the Cavs don't go to him a lot early and work the Garland-Allen pick and roll, put Mobley in the dunker spot, get Mitchell off on a wing. Not that you don't want Mitchell to get going and get off, but I think you want to get these other guys going and let the defense start to worry a little bit more about what they're dealing with Garland-Allen Mobley-wise than have to go and turn around and be able to be hyper-focused on Mitchell. I've said this in the past. Listen, Garland will run an offense – and Garland hasn't been good this year. I've been very disappointed with him. I think he's a very, very talented player. He has played way below what his talent level is. But Garland's a guy, when he has it going right, will get an offense going by being willing to get rid of the ball quickly and move well off the ball, knowing he'll get it back. Donovan Mitchell needs it in his hands a lot. And Donovan Mitchell will dribble out shot clocks, and he'll put up assist numbers, but they're never the hockey assist. It's always the assist that leads to the basket type of thing. He's not moving the ball with the offense. And what does that mean? Well, listen, if he's being productive and they're winning games and they're scoring a lot of points, it's fine. The problem becomes is you get other guys who become stagnant in an offense and don't move a lot and don't want to get involved because they're standing there watching Mitchell dribble the shot clock out trying to make a move. So, like, some of this is style of play stuff that doesn't necessarily fit with how they operate here. So, I kind of feel like, you can let Mitchell be Mitchell by not having to run everything through him early. One thing I'll say about JB here as a little bit of a criticism, which how he runs his offense, he doesn't necessarily take advantage of all of the weapons that he has over the course of a long game. And I think you're seeing the physicality with Mitchell in the second halves, and he appears to be wearing down because he's not healthy. And you're seeing the Philadelphia with Embiid right now. What happened to him in the fourth quarter on Sunday? My point being is that I think general Bickerstaff, like Nick Nurse in Philly, needs to do a much better job of, pacing his star player to make sure that he's got a little bit of freshness in the fourth quarter. Fatigue is, we love as fans and media members say, well, you're tired, you got to push through, it's no excuse. That's easy for us to say, sit where we're sitting. When you're the guy on the floor and you're worn down and you're exhausted, it's tough finding the energy sometimes. Your coach has to help you and your coach has to pace you. And I don't think that's happened with Bickerstaff and Mitchell. Certainly don't think it's happening when Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid do it.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us from SiriusXM NBA Radio. You mentioned Mitchell. If you don't sign him, you got to move him. You thought JB, Mitchell, Garland, maybe one's back. Tell me, Brian, what does this look like moving forward with three number ones going to Utah starting in 2025 every other year and pick swaps in there? If Mitchell doesn't come back, or if you move Garland, how do you add pieces here to make this work, to make it attractive for a guy like Donovan Mitchell or anybody else who you want to bring in to kind of replace Mitchell in that role?
So I think they're much better off if Mitchell signs the extension, because Garland's a guy, you put him out there. First of all, San Antonio's got a lot to give up. I think they would jump on pairing Darius Garland and Victor Wembanyama. I think they'd be all over it. And so the ideal scenario here is to be able to keep Mitchell for the exact reason that you just said, which is that you gave up so much for him. You're going to start losing these picks now down the line. And at least you want to be able to compete with this team while this is happening. So that would be the, because I also, here's the other thing I believe about Mitchell. You'll never get back, I said it earlier, what you gave up. You never will. You bought him at the top of the market. So, and the other thing is, let's face it, spending 2 years in Cleveland and not signing a contract extension and begging out doesn't make him the most attractive trade candidate out there either. Here's another factor that you have to consider. When it comes, listen, Garland's a very, very good player. He's not a megastar. We may have one of the more chaotic, craziest NBA offseasons we've seen in a long time, with guys asking out or teams deciding they've had enough of certain big-time stars. Who knows what happens with Philly and Embiid if they lose tonight to the Knicks? No, I mean, he could very well ask out. That Milwaukee situation is an unmitigated disaster. You could have a possibility of both Giannis and Lillard asking out. That combination didn't necessarily work, and that was, as opposed to being a proactive organization, that was the most reactive organization you've ever seen in just, playing whack-a-mole, trying to hit one thing and another thing crops up, and it doesn't look like a very well-run organization. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to be in Phoenix next year. I think, and that actually may end up being mutual because of their second apron issues. My point is that if now you have to go trade Donovan Mitchell and want to get a load of value, you got to flush market. Like, you know what I mean? There's, you may end up in a situation where a team's going to try to see if they can steal him a little bit, because the teams that are be willing to step up with big pick packages for stars are not going to be looking at Donovan Mitchell because of the other four I just mentioned that very well may be available. So that's something else the Cavs could run into here, which, again, makes Garland as a second-tier guy a lot more attractive, because you're never going to you're not going to get for Garland what you would for Mitchell, but that's okay because Mitchell's the better player. So you keep Mitchell and you craft a trade where maybe it's not 100 cents in the dollar, but it's the right pieces to work around Donovan Mitchell. You have that luxury. If you have to go the other way with Mitchell, it becomes an asset drain, and those asset drains wear on organizations and the personnel departments long term. You have to get lucky with something. Like, Dallas had an awful asset drain, and Kyrie Irving ended up landing on his feet and playing great this year, saved them. But more times than not, when you have those types of asset drains that Phoenix would go through with trading Durant, where you'll never get back what you gave up for him, when you have those types of asset drains, you know, it's really, really hard for an organization to recover from in the short term, and it becomes a, you know, another long-term situation where you got to hit rock bottom.
Brian, what's going on with LeBron James? Could we see LeBron 3.0 in Cleveland?
I got it. You know, here's what I'll say about LeBron. You got to listen to what he has to say in these post-game press conferences and see through it. LeBron was extremely focused last night in discussing his children. They got roots in L.A., man. All his business interests are in L.A. This is going to be, you know, page one out of the LeBron offseason playbook we're going to see again this year. He's gonna not commit to the Lakers, so he can assume as much control over personnel and what they do as possible. And he will hold that over their heads. He does not want to leave L.A., not at this stage of his life. He's not running somewhere else. He made a statement that would indicate to me that he has no desire to leave L.A., where he said, this season I miss too much with my kids as it is. And so I think the LeBron leaving is going to be a non-story to the extent that it's not really going to happen. The story part of LeBron threatening to leave is going to be him stepping on the Lakers' head to trade whatever they can trade to upgrade this roster. And he's going to use the threat of leaving to be able to have him and Rich Paul exercise as much personnel power over Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss as possible.
Including leaving Bronny as a Laker then?
Yeah, listen, I think that's the least of the Lakers' issues. I think if it means drafting Bronny, then they'll draft Bronny. But quite frankly, if you ask me right now, is Bronny going to be in this draft or not be in this draft, I would tell you he's not going to be in this draft. I think what they're doing with Bronny, if he wasn't the son of the most famous basketball player on the planet right now, this would be a really smart move of what they're doing. And I think they're trying to block out the noise, and I credit them for that. Bronny, you know, Bronny gets treated a little bit unfairly publicly based upon what this season was. The kid came back from a major cardiac event, and he played. Give him credit, right? Came out, played, didn't play great, okay? Andy Enfield leaves USC. The James family trusted Andy Enfield. They're moving on from USC. Putting his name in the draft allows NBA executives to look at him against other guys that are going to be in the draft, which he didn't get a ton of playing time this year, and say, listen, kid, this is what you have to work on to be a first-round pick. Understand something about LeBron. LeBron's priority with his son is not just get him on the team with me. If he can get the kid to be a first-round pick and they can end up playing together, wonderful. But a first-round pick's guaranteed money. And LeBron wants him to be a player in the league. And as a second-round pick, he got no guarantees. So I think they've actually put him in the draft so they can get a real deal appraisal and a look at him at the combine playing against other guys and get an idea what he really needs to work on, and then put him in a place in college where he'll get the chance to be on the floor and get playing time. I mean, he was behind Isaiah Collier and Boogie Ellis this year. He was in a very tough spot. It wouldn't surprise me for him to end up with LeBron's buddy at Duquesne as one of their starting guards with the ball in his hands. And I think that would be a very, very smart move, give him a chance to develop, and maybe he ends up doing something on an NCAA tournament stage.
Brian, as always, thank you so much. Great insight, great unbelievable stuff. We'll be listening for you on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Thank you so much.
Guys, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon. Brian Geltzeiler on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Wow, Jeff. I mean, a lot of stuff there. A lot of, like, no punches, hole.
A lot of big picture stuff there. Yeah.
And he said, I want to dissect some of the things that he had to say, especially about that, you know, Mitchell Garland relationship. Wow. I'm just looking at that going, I can't. I mean, he was not holding anything back. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. Time now for a 2020.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baskin and Phelps, 216-474-0092. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Brian Geltzeiler from Sirius XM NBA Radio was just on with us, Jeff. He held nothing back. He really did.
Brian, I mean, always gets to the point.
In his opinion. Like, it's all like, any chance of LeBron? No. No. Are you think LeBron's going to? No. Does it matter what Brian? No. But I'm not. That was the end
I'm
of the
interview. Glad he said more than just no. Otherwise, it would have been a really short interview.
Jeff, you are so, like, I can't believe that I took you away from your Mensa meetings today.
Thanks, Andy.
To be a part of my life so I could talk to you for 4 hours.
Yep, thank you.
Seriously genius at work.
Thanks.
I look at this, Jeff, and, he talked about chemistry with Mitchell and Garland, and I think we both kind of looked at each other when he was talking about it. We're like, whoa, listen again. Well, they straight out, he says they don't like playing with each other. His opinion.
You have two ball-dominant guards, Andy. We've been talking about that since they made the trade. I don't know that they don't like playing together.
I've seen them get happy for each other when they make their plays.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, they seem to get along just fine. But, Andy, Darius Garland wants to be Donovan Mitchell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Donovan's the lead dog. And he's the guy getting all the money. And Darius got paid, you know. But Donovan's the alpha dog here. Darius wants to be that. And guess what? He should want to be that. It's an overlap of enough of an overlap of skills that I've said since the day they made the trade that I didn't think it was a good mix. Nothing that I've seen changes my mind. You know, perhaps a different approach to it would make it work a little bit better. It works fine in the regular season. You can win a lot of games. You can score a lot of points. You can move the ball, and you can make it work. It so far has not worked in the playoffs. Hopefully it'll work in the next two, three games, and they get a serious win over the Orlando Magic. But Andy, we've been talking about this since they made the trade. It's an overlap of skills, and I think you can do that with big guys a little bit, but it's tough to do that with smaller guys.
I'm just after listening to that interview, I wonder what folks are thinking after hearing what he just said. Because, I mean, he made it perfectly clear that, Zay, you know, Jeff said this for a while, that their basketball skills can't exist together, I think, on the same floor. Is that the right way to put it, Jeff?
Oh, they can. But
they just haven't figured out the chemistry, or it's redundant?
I think they overlap, and I don't think that they've done a great job, and I say they, the entire organization, of making it mesh. And that's, Brian said the same thing. And that said, I think Darius is a really good NBA player. I think Donovan is a great NBA player. And the big guys, I don't have an issue with having two big guys whose skill set might overlap slightly.
I just like to see them get used.
Well, part of that is that you have two guys who are who have the basketball who need to score the ball. And Darius hasn't done that as much in this series, and maybe it's because he's deferring. Maybe it's because it's not working for him this series. I don't know what it is. He needs to average more than 12 points a game. That said, I think it all goes back to the mix, Andy. You know, I can't tell you that Darius has been lousy because I think Darius is a really good player.
Plus, you throw injury in there too. I mean, there's been. I mean, I'm not making excuses.
There's all kinds of stuff, but it goes back to. I don't think it's a good mix. You know, to me, I want one guy, and man, it was when Darius was out and Donovan was orchestrating the offense. Man, did it sing! And as I said at the time, why would you want to take the ball out of his hands? Well, there's only one reason why. Because you also have Darius. If you don't have Darius, then Donovan has the ball in his hands and he's orchestrating the offense. And you have Porter as your backup point guard. And you move Darius and you go get somebody on the wing who scares another team. Go get a wing player. And that might work. And if Donovan doesn't stay, well, then you turn it over to Darius and you go find a wing player. I mean, I just think there's been enough of an overlap of skill set that it's not going to click. Or if it's going to click, it hasn't in 2 years. So tell me what, and I mean click, not that when you win in the regular season. I mean, win big. That's why you made a trade like that, to try and win big. Minnesota's winning big after they made their trade like that. They got Rudy Gobert, even though I think he's the third part of that. It didn't work in Atlanta, where they gave up a ton for DeJounte Murray, and that's not working. Is it working here? You could argue that it is because Donovan's been great. You could argue that it isn't because they're a good regular season team and so far haven't shown themselves to be a really good playoff team.
Chuck is in Shaker Heights, home of the Red Raiders. Hi, Chuck. How are
hey.
You?
Hey. Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Or is it afternoon? It is afternoon. Yeah. Listen, it seemed like to me that old expression that the coach has lost the locker room. I guess I don't know whether the players are believing in the system or what's going on. Or do we have a system? Because it just seemed like these guys, they don't run plays. They just bring the ball down and they just start watching Donovan or they do the pick and roll sometime, but that just said it just don't look like they're playing like they were when and they're not playing like they were when Garland was hurt, you know. And I don't know, because you know Kendrick Perkins said the same thing on First Take that looked like the Cavs want to fight each other when they're out on the court. So I don't know, fellas.
I don't know. If I got in a fight with my teammates, I'd want Kendrick Perkins on my team.
They look like that. They look like that, no. Andy.
There's no chemistry. I think, you know, yeah. Brian said that too, and I think we've all been watching. It's just like I saw chemistry in the first two games, especially in the first half, and it's gone. Yeah. It's all gone, and
it's like the second half. They forget what they were doing in the first half, you know.
It's true. Thank you, Chuck. Have a great day.
All right.
Let's talk to Andy, who's in North Homestead. Hi, Andy.
Jeffrey, Andy, what's up?
You are.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, just to piggyback on what that guest that you had on said, and it was really good. Just reading some of the tea leaves, I mean, I heard Garland mention about, you know, we need to stay connected. And then when he came back from his injury, he said something to the effect that I'm just trying to fit in. I mean, there's something going on there. To what degree, I don't know. But you know what, though? I'm still not giving up, obviously. But I think that if we lose tonight, I think we're going to lose in six. And I think if we win tonight, I think we have a good chance to win in seven. It's kind of a wonky series. No one saw this coming. The Mitchell injury, I think he is injured. But, man, it's sure hard to go from 18 points in one half to absolutely nothing in the second half. And he started that half off by committing a horrific turnover. I mean, it was obviously one of the worst turnovers ever seen. I mean, it was just careless. You know, I wanted to ask you guys this, okay? Just maybe it's a little moving forward. I think Donovan's going to sign the contract. I think he's going to think about his knee. He's going to think about his legacy. And he's also going to think about not leaving $200 million on the table. So I think that's one thing. But you guys, if you just take a step back, Darius Garland and Evan Mobley, when June rolls around, they're going to be 24 and 23. They're still both really young. And I know I've mentioned before, I think the floor for Evan is an outstanding center. So, I mean, if you think about this, the worst case scenario, you've got a young point guard who may be a slight reclamation project, but who's still very talented with an outstanding center, and they're both young. So that's not a bad way to start. You know, we need to fix this poor roster construction. And, you know, the one thing he said, and I thought of right away, you may not get these big packages like we had to give up for Donovan, but I don't know about you guys. I'm more interested in getting young players that I like now on rookie salaries deals or team-friendly deals that I can build around. I'm not even so interested in draft picks right now.
How do you get the young players under contract then, Andy?
How do you get them under contract, Jeff? Do you know? You have an answer?
Yeah, you draft them.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. We don't have draft picks.
All right, let's roll on with this conversation. We'll talk a little bit more about this. Plus, we're going to enter a new place. I'll call it Mr. Menigan's House of Common Sense. Can we do that? Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Yes, what?
I think that's a fine idea.
Yes.
And yeah, we're also going to give away some goodies coming up.
Oh, we'll do that when we come back, or we'll do that now?
Let's do it when we come back.
Okay, let's do that. Baskin and Phelps, 216-474-0092.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
To play the
monster. I think the Washington Senators were coming back.
I think we'd get smoked if we played Ottawa. But that's okay. It's all right. Hey, we'll take the challenge. Had a first round bye. Looking good right there. Jeff is AHL Calder Cup fever. I feel it from you, Jeff. It's electric.
I'm pumped.
I can feel it. All right. I want to get back to the Cavaliers game 5 of their series against the Orlando Magic with that tied up at 2, but
tonight.
We had tonight.
Yeah.
What'd I say?
Nothing. I just threw in tonight.
Oh, you scared me there. Like I said, the game's like next week.
No.
And then I teased it a little bit about just a common sense class. So, Jeff, why don't you go ahead with this? I just want to talk about it for a moment, and it has to do with dining. Help me out, my friend. Help me.
I have a pet peeve.
Okay, Jeff has a pet peeve.
Went out to dinner last night, celebrate a college graduation. My daughter.
Are you going to throw your kid under the bus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right, good.
Yeah. It gets to, I don't understand this. And so we went to our favorite spot for dinner, and godparents came, a good buddy of mine from high school. We had a great time. And, you know, we all order. And it's a restaurant with a variety of things on the menu. And my daughter says, I'll have the New York strip steak. And I thought, great, kid's going for the steak.
Graduation? Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You want mushrooms on that? Sure. It comes with seasonal vegetables. Great. And would you like a, yes. Yeah, twice baked potato. Great. And you get bread with it. Yep, by all means. And my daughter is, you know, she's not a big girl. She's, you know, has a normal appetite. Doesn't plow food like I do.
She's an athlete.
Yeah, and, athlete. Well, she was. And then,
I don't know, are you?
And can I get a salad, too? Sure. And so she had a ton of food. And I looked at her.
Was the cash register running in your head as she was ordering?
No, I was chuckling in my head, but thinking, there's no way she's going to eat all this. And so she, you know, we got done ordering, and I said, so I guess I'm having a little steak. And she goes, oh, no, I said, you know, you know you're not going to eat all that food. Oh, yes, I am. That's two or three meals for me. And I thought, why am I paying restaurant prices for you to eat warmed up food at home when we have a refrigerator with food in it? My pet peeve, I hate it when people take restaurant food home. Well, don't order so much then. Restaurant food's not cheap. And then you warm it up at home and it's not as good as it was in the restaurant when the people who are skilled at cooking food have it beautifully prepared for you right in front of your face.
Let me play devil's advocate.
All right, here it comes.
Jeff Phelps. Some people believe that leftovers, it's almost like a two-for-one. That you get two great meals for the price of one if you couldn't finish your meal at the restaurant.
Then order less.
Well, how do you
pay
order,
less and go home and have the turkey sandwich that's sitting there?
You know, I would like the filet, but do you have a kid's menu for that? I don't know how you can pay. How can you order less if you're ordering? So let's just say she went steak and potato. Okay, would you have been good with a salad, steak, potato? I think that's fair, right? How could she order less? How do you, without going to the kids' menu, calling into the bullpen on the kids' menu, how do you order less?
Dano?
Yeah.
You look like you're ready to help me. Because Baskin's not, because he told me his daughter does the same thing, and it drives him nuts. But now, all of a sudden, Jeff's got a problem here.
I can get behind your sentiment with one exception.
Yeah.
Corned beef.
What?
If you
order a corned beef, yeah.
Yes.
Around here.
Corned beef sandwiches are so big.
You get gargantuan corned beef
sandwiches. You could order half a sandwich.
But for what you're paying, you may as well get the full because, you know.
Yeah, you get the full sandwich.
Because then you can turn around and you can take the corned beef and make either a second sandwich out of it or corned beef hash.
But that warms up. But that warms up real well.
Correct.
Steak at home doesn't warm up well.
Depending on how the corned beef was made. I got to be honest with you. And there's some tricks to it. Like, you don't ever want to get the corned beef that was, like, cooked and then frozen and then they put it in the steamer. That's bad news corned beef in my world, okay?
Okay.
If I'm going to have corned beef, I want it steamed and let's go.
Look,
I don't need it sit around all day because when you go to reheat it.
Would you agree? Warmed up steak at home just doesn't cut it.
No. No,
so,
it doesn't. I'm with you on that.
Don't get the mushrooms. Don't order the extra salad. Just eat the seasonal veggies. Let's go.
Let me give you mine.
Don't eat the appetizer.
And especially you're paying for the protein. Knock out the protein.
I'm just saying. Warmed up with few exceptions. Now, like, you know, if you get a big pasta dish or something like that,
yeah,
that warms
okay.
up. That warms up a little bit better. Steak at home warmed up just doesn't cut it.
All right. So let me give you my same.
Though I'm very proud of my daughter for graduating.
So this is the problem I have, okay? Like, I'll say, like, all right, let's go out to eat, especially if my daughter, like, her go-to now is, like, hibachi. Like, every time. And we have some fantastic hibachi chefs in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah. Hibachi prices.
Yes. Hibachi's not a go-to. Hibachi's not like, hey, we're going to our favorite place where we get chicken wings, right? It's not the go-to. And I'm like, where in the world did you come up with the idea that, like, the go-to is hibachi? It's not. I can only watch so many shrimp get flipped off of a little spatula into a hat, okay? It's great the first 150 times that I've seen it.
For $50.
And I know how it is. And then it's like, oh, hi. Volcano onion. Yeah, that's great.
Baskin and Phelps here for cheap, guys.
I got no problem with it.
I don't either.
It's not. It's a stupid adulting. That's what it is. It's all about adulting. I love going hibachi. I think it's fun. I like to do it every once in a while. But we're not going through the drive-thru at hibachi. And by the way, I found a place that makes hibachi tacos in town. Golly. And they're totally reasonable. And they taste exactly the same as and they're so good. So good. Okay, that's my hibachi.
There we go.
Are we on the same page?
Take-home steak. I just, no.
Okay. How about to go? Can I just ask you that, too? Go to a steakhouse, but you don't want to eat there. Like, especially like during the pandemic, we would order steak and bring it back home every once in a while. Well, especially because they would have fantastic deals.
There was a global pandemic.
Yeah, well, so we had that going for us.
You'd have to do it this way, though. I think the only possible way to do this, if you eat your steak medium, then and you're going to carry it out, you order it medium rare, and you go home and you warm it up. You throw it in a cast iron skillet, do a little bit on each side, then you get your medium. But if you order a steak medium and you like it that way, you can't warm it up without making it medium well.
All right, I'll buy that.
At least I'm not skilled enough to do that.
Could we do a hibachi drive-thru window? How do you think that would do? How do you think that would do?
I think it would turn into one of those games where the duck goes across and you try to shoot it with the gun, except this time it's a shrimp. Yep. You're in a car.
You're in a car and they're flipping food out the window at you.
Pull!
And you don't have your window down. It's just smearing down the window.
Can you pull
exactly.
up?
Oh, that was 20 bucks.
Darn the luck.
Sorry, we couldn't do this at the second window. Can you pull up to the third window so we could do the volcano onion?
They put the onion volcano, on your hood. Leave a mark. Baby catches on fire. Oh.
Depending on how old and beaten up your car is, they may just put it on the engine block.
All right, there we go.
Is that fried rice? No, that's rust, Dad. Oh, must be the van.
What are you saying?
Saying it might be time to say goodbye, my friend. You're getting close. I'm just letting you know.
Tell me about it.
216-474-0092. Cavs back on the floor tonight. Game 5, Orlando Magic. A lot of things to talk about when it comes to this game. Brian Geitzeiler from SiriusXM NBA Radio was with us. If you missed any of the interview, you can always go to the Odyssey app and listen to the Baskin and Phelps podcast, or you can just go right to 923thefan.com and you can listen to it there. He said a lot of things in that interview, and the thing that I think hit home the most, Jeff, was the lack of chemistry and the fact is, I mean, do these guys even want to play on the same floor together? That's the way I walked out of that interview. I don't know that sometimes when we listen to national guys and they talk and they just sound so like, I'm 100% right and this is the way it is, it's hard not to believe them sometimes because what he says with conviction. And
true.
And maybe it's just me just not wanting to believe what he's saying is true, but I do think there is truth to what he's saying because your eyes aren't fooling you. The chemistry's not there with your two of your top players.
Before I comment, one of our sales guys just sent me a text.
Right.
Drive-through express place, just like we described. It's in his neighborhood. Get on that. We need an endorsement deal. We want to help him sell it. Brian Geltzeiler was adamant in some of his thoughts. I still think they win this series, Andy. I do. I think they win this series. I think they win tonight, and I think they win in Orlando. I think they figure it out. And I hope I'm not wrong. But I think they figure it out and win in 6.
Scott is in Westlake. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Scott.
Hey, guys. I got to get my thoughts together because when you guys were talking about the restaurant, I was thinking about my own kid and how I went off because he did the same thing. But I digress. So if I'm the Orlando coach, I'm telling the Orlando Magic after game two, hey, these guys jacked up 17 threes and didn't make one of them, but kept jacking them up. Number two, look at their past. When they're close, when it's close and they lost a big lead and it's close, or when they're down and it's late, it's got to be late in the game, it's got to be late third quarter, early fourth, no more ball movement. Everybody wants to be a hero. Now we're ISO ball. I love LeVert, but he will go one against four. Mitchell, Garland, the bigs don't get touches unless it's offensive rebounds because everybody's playing ISO ball. So if I'm Orlando, I'm like, all you got to do is keep it close, take the lead, they will fall apart. And I don't know if that's coaching or if that the lack of adjustments, or they're just not listening to the coach and they panic and they all feel they got to play ISO ball. What do you guys feel about that?
Scott, I think you are 100% dead on. In fact, I thought it was interesting that Shaq said, even though the Cavs were up at halftime in game four, didn't he say at halftime that he thought Orlando would win by at least nine? I swear he said that right before they went back for the second half. And I was like, man, that's a really bold prediction for a team that's winning. And to hear him say that and then to listen to what you're saying too, he's right. It's about hero ball. And when this team looks good, they're not playing hero ball.
We've seen a lot of that in this town over the years, and it got us a parade. We don't have that guy. Exactly right, Andy. That guy is capable of doing some of that. But that guy also shared the ball with Kyrie Irving. He would hit the open guy in JR. He'd get it to Kevin.
Yep.
And so, you know, even though we saw LeBron do a lot of that, LeBron also moved the ball like crazy. And it was – when this team goes hero ball, I don't think it works.
All right, gentlemen, the injury report has come down. Jared Allen has been listed as questionable with a right rib contusion as injury/illness. So right rib contusion, questionable Jared Allen.
I would think he plays without question.
All right, let's talk about when we come back. 216-474-0092. Where are you? I mean, that's a little bit more news that might put you, I don't know, into the panic meter? Are you?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.